Go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews 10. We'll look at verse 22. As we're doing so, I just want to give special thanks to this college for Dr. Comfort, for Mr. Bill, allowing me this opportunity to preach the Word, and I thank the Lord for that. Thank you for how He's taken me along, and it's been so good to me. I love the songs that we heard this morning. I believe that ties in really well under His wings and just realizing how God just keeps us, and I think that'll tie in good this morning. I also want to thank the Lord for my wife, how that she's been my support, always helping me and always looking to strengthen me and always being my help whenever I need it. So whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and I praise the Lord for that. I must confess my contacts are a little blurry this morning, so if I look at you and I blink, I'm not winking at you. It's just my contacts are acting up a little bit. It only seems like a day ago that I came to Ambassador, you know, freshman running around, and then I found a girl and ended up getting married, and now I'm an old marriage student, so it just seems like just the other day, though. But as we look at verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." You know, have you ever seen a palm tree in a hurricane? It's an amazing thing. You know, you see the palm tree and you just think it would snap, it would just be moved from its foundation. But as the weather hits it, as the winds smack against that palm tree, it still remains in the ground. Yes, it may bend. Yes, it may the winds may beat against it, but it is not moved. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, Secure the Faith. Secure the Faith. My proposition this morning is, you must not be moved. Let us pray to Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You for this chapel hour. God, where Your Word is given the authority, God. And I thank You for this school on which that was founded, God, as its means. Lord, I ask You to speak through me this morning. Give me clarity of thought. And help Your Word to be remembered as we come to You for our strength and everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, many times in our lives, we look at God as something in our life. We don't look at God as our life. I find myself doing the very same thing. I put God in a little box, and I just say, "Here you go, Lord." But we don't allow Him to be part of our life. This morning, I want to look at a man that God was part of his life. That was his life, his strength, all that he could rely and go to because he had nothing else. That man's name is Joseph. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. And I want to see this morning three ways in which Joseph could have wavered. Three times in his life that he could have wavered, but he didn't. He stayed true. He held fast to the faith. Hold fast has the idea of securing. It has the idea of possessing, keeping to oneself, finding something that's dear. And this man, Joseph, did that very thing. He kept the faith. He held to what God had given him. Genesis 39, I hope you're there, and look at verse 7. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." The first wavering I want to see, the time of wavering, is temptation. We see here that Potiphar's wife came to Joseph. Potiphar had entrusted Joseph with all of the house, had given him everything there, and God had blessed Joseph. We see that God was with him even after his brothers had sold him into slavery. We know that Joseph grew up in a dysfunctional family, all kinds of mothers, all kinds of brothers. But God was with him. Even in these situations, when his brothers sold him off to slavery, God was still there with him. And we find this woman coming, and not only did she come to him just once, but it says, day by day, came to him. You know, the thing about Satan is he doesn't just call us a surrender. It's more like a ceasefire. You know, when we knock him down, when we use the word of God against him, he comes back each time. We find that as Satan came to Christ, it wasn't that one time. You know, he used the word of God. It wasn't just one time. He came to him again three times. He came back. In our lives, we need to be on guard each day. We can't just allow a break because temptation will come. Will you be ready? We find that in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom steadfast in faith, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That's our adversary, the devil. And he looks about to find out who is weak. Looks to find a weakness in your life so he can get a foothold in your life. At the Battle of the Alamo, I'm from Texas, as you may not know. You may know that or may not. But I'm from there, and I have heritage, and I like to claim some of the historical features of that. And one of the biggest things was Alamo. You know, I was public school, and I remember, you know, you had your U.S. history, but then you had your Texas history. I mean, it seemed like it was almost, you know, that was the biggest thing there. But I remember hearing the story of the Alamo. The Texans fought against the Mexican troops for about 13 days. And the Mexican army was so much bigger than the Texas army. Well, after the 13th day, you know, after two or three trials where they hit them, they finally got in on them. They finally took it all over. The thing was, they didn't have enough troops. They didn't have enough backups to withstand the Mexican army. Well, in our lives, we need to have the backups. We need to have the Word of God set in our hearts against Satan so that there is not a weakness in our lives, so that the Word is there. When Satan comes to test us, when he comes to try us, when he comes to trip us up, we have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds to keep Satan from getting a foothold, getting place in our lives. You see, he doesn't just come once and then just leave. He comes daily. He comes at our weakest times. We must have the Word of God in our hearts. So we have that Joseph did this very thing. He kept Potiphar's wife from coming in with him. He kept back from committing to that sin. He did it daily. Now, how was he rewarded for this? Potiphar, you know, God still showed grace in this time. Potiphar could have killed Joseph. He had the power. Then he could have just slain him right there. But God did show grace. And in that, he was thrown into the dungeon. We know this story. We know that he was thrown into the jail. And God even showed grace in that time. He even was there for him. The second thing I want to look at is we need to hold fast, even when troubles come. We need to hold fast when temptation comes. We need to put the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. We also need to, secondly, hold fast when troubles come. Here in Genesis 39, look at verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying after this manner, did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. And he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. See, the Lord was with him even when in these troubles, even in these times that it wasn't necessarily easy, God was still there. You know, the thing is, troubles still come in our lives. God has a reason for them. You know, maybe it's the school bill, maybe it's other troubles that you're having, maybe it's family issues. You know what? God is still with you. We just need to rest under His wings. We need to rest in Him who will see us through. You know, He doesn't always take those troubles away, but He's there with us to comfort us in those troubles. Also in Genesis 4, verse 6, we find how Joseph reacts to all this. We've seen that God's with him, but we see his reaction in Genesis 4, 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? Here was the butler and the chef, and he comes to them and asks them why they're sad in this prison. Now, how could a man that's sad himself ask to somebody else why they're sad? Truth was, I don't see Joseph over in this corner crying his eyes out. I don't see him being just a sad person, woe is me, but I see him comforted by God. I see him as being joyous in his affliction. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect example of that. I'm saying that Joseph is one of the best examples of that from the Bible. I can't say that my faith is like that, but this man's faith is. And this is how our faith should be in times of trouble. We should realize that God is there with us. You know, me and a dark period in my life that I look back to was a period with me and my brothers and my stepfather. Now, my stepfather was everything but physically abusive. Sometimes he even pushed the envelope there. Sometimes he got really close to that. But you know what comforted me and my brothers a lot of times was knowing that each other was there. You know, we could lean upon each other. I knew that if I went to my brothers, you know, they wouldn't turn me away. That they, you know, I'd say, you know, stepdad is, he's, you know, he's been mean to me. And they wouldn't say, oh, you're just crazy. I knew I could lean upon them, and they would help me. They would see me through in those times. It was such a comfort. Not only that, but God was there for us in that time. You know what? We need to lean upon God. When in those troubled times, we need to realize that God is there for us. And we need to hold fast the faith that we have, keep it within us, knowing that God is there with us, knowing that Jesus Christ lives in us. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So in these troubled times, when we go through troubles, we need to hold fast to Jesus Christ. We need to realize that He is there with us, and we need to abide under His wings. Lastly, I want to see that when triumph comes, we need to hold fast. Okay, what are you talking about? Well, look at Genesis 42. Verse 1 through 10. Now when Jacob saw that there was none corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get thee down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. The sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed them down themselves before him, with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land. You are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants. We find that the famine hit the people of Israel. We find that Joseph was risen to a place of leadership, the second man in charge of all Egypt. Here he was having the power of the land behind Pharaoh. Find that God blessed him and put him in this position. And that's what we need to realize, is God is the one that puts us in the places that we are. Genesis 41:6 says, right before Joseph revealed the dream to Pharaoh, he said, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You look at how you've made your school bill. You look at how you've made it this far at Ambassador. You look at how far you're looking to go. You look at possibly graduate, some of you, this year. Do you look towards yourself as doing that? Do you look and say, you know what, man, I've done such a good job here. You may not tell everybody else, but is that in your heart? You say, man, I've just done an awesome job. Or do you look to God saying that He has done all this? He has allowed me to prosper. God is the one that saw me through all my troubled times, all my times of temptation. He's the one that's given me strength. Joseph realized that God was the one who gave him the strength. In the times of temptation, to be able to fight off Potiphar's wife, it was God that gave him the strength. In a time of troubles, not weeping, not crying, not laying down and just killing over, it was God that gave him the strength to see it through. And that's what we need to realize, that it's not of ourselves that we're able to stand here today. It's not of us, but the one that seeks to work through us. Arnold Palmer, a famous man you may have heard of, a famous golfer, pretty much had the Masters in his hand, so he thought. He just finished up a really nice 17th hole. Was thinking, man, I got this. But he was trying to stay focused, but as his friend walked up to him, and he shook his hand and he said, congratulations. The hole wasn't done. He had one more hole. But he thought to himself, I've already accomplished this. And his focus was lost suddenly. He threw one in the sand. He threw another one off the green and ended up losing the 1962 Masters. Why? Because of pride. Pride seeped into his life. He thought, I had this. I've got this. But he didn't rely on strength. And in the same way, we may think, man, I've got this preaching thing down. Man, I've got this Christian living down. Man, I just know what I'm doing. But you're not relying on the correct strength. You're not relying on God Almighty, who put you in that place and saw you through in your times of temptation, who saw you through in your times of trouble, and the one who ultimately gave you the triumph. You see, if we rely to self, instead of facing temptations the proper way, we will seek to please ourselves. In times of trouble, we will have pity on ourselves if we look towards ourselves. In times of triumph, we will look towards pride of ourselves instead of towards God Almighty. You see, we need to look towards the strength of God. In our times of temptation, we need to look towards His Word. In times of trouble, we need to look towards Him who gives us our strength. In times of triumph, we still need to look towards the One who put us there and rely on Him. Knowing that He'll see us through, we need to take it to Him. Thank you.